Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to We Say Things, episode 194. Suns fan here with Sindarin.
Hey!
And this episode is brought to you by our In Bruges tier.
Hey!
Thank you to Xenofork, is officially an ancient creep. Happy birthday from Mos Eisley Mob. Monkey Man says, please tell Patrick to come back to that sweet, sweet heroine that is Dota 2. Sorry about that. That was not...
That was not someone on the list, although I wonder how they would have spelled that.
That's true. If you would like to give us your best spellings for that beautiful word in the English language, put in the YouTube comments. Also, thank you to Pepperballs, Charlie Cheen, T-Coil. I hope I can find a way to cosplay Mega Meepo at TI. Q Ludes enjoyed the casting from both of us and has no notes. Stupid Copilot, D2 Bowie, Lab Dota, Yatoro Does It Again, Sindarin. Three clicks, lol, but how...
3K licks.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, the text is really small, Shannon. On my screen. 3K licks, lol, but also how is Valve not advertising CS2 in the last major? A disappointing no ad. That's true. You know, we don't even have that in the outline. We should talk about... Yes, I'm going to add that. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
MagDev gives a shout out to NADC, the at symbol, NADCL underscore S4 on Twitter. Check out what's cooking for NA Dota over on their Discord, link in bio. What bio exactly? On the Twitter, I suppose.
He didn't say hashtag not an ad either.
True. He probably didn't have a room. Dear Valve, marketing is the process of promoting products or services to create value for customers and drive business growth. Disco Farm D. Funny for a segment on a guy that is apparently eloquent. Quinn doesn't know how to spell mold. I guess you can take the Americ. The Mega Pope.
And I'm happy to announce that the International will be in New Zealand in 2024. TI in New Zealand. All right, if that ends up being true and you had the scoop, that would be very impressive. Zan Xavier, Nate Thicko 01 Hamscroats, Bacon, Shark TM, freshly seasoned goat balls. Janie, Dop, nothing to see here, underscore, guitar strings, Yves Raymond. Ben Broomhead says hi to his friend Emery from Pixel. Keep saying hi to him every week, maybe you should talk to him more. Wooden Aftertaste, Anonymous, and Cleopatra lived closer in time to the first moon landing than to the construction of the Great Pyramid of Giza, Mr. Niebling.
Pretty crazy, right? I actually read this one a few weeks ago on Reddit. I don't know if Niebling's getting his information from Reddit these days, but that's actually mind-boggling to think about. That's so crazy. Ancient Egypt is so old, you can't even, like... The fact that we can't even really put it into, like... What's the best way to put this? Like, you know, like when you talk about the galaxy, like, oh, it's unimaginable. Even it's just something that's like 4,000 years, right? Or whatever. However long ago the ancient Egyptians started. Like, I can't even fathom that. It's insane. Anywho, and the fact that we've progressed so much in so few years, Sindarin,
definitely progressed in the last 10 years. I think everything got so much better.
You've evolved so much. You know, you used to have zero emotion. Now you have 1%.
Yeah.
Good job.
The world is just a much better place.
Yeah.
Good job, humanity.
Good job, everybody.
All right.
All right. Let's start with the NBA segment. I almost skipped it. My bad.
Oh, that would have been... I wouldn't have pointed it out, actually. I would have seen if you would have remembered.
Oh, people are real upset we didn't talk about the NBA with Quinn on the podcast. I'm like, he doesn't give a shit about the NBA.
I don't think he cares.
He wouldn't have cared, but it didn't seem right to do it on a guest podcast. Okay, let's get everybody up to speed.
I mean, he doesn't care about the NBA.
Yes, I know. That too.
Wow.
Okay, so last we talked, I think the Suns were tied in the series. I don't, or maybe they were down. I don't remember. We were playing the Denver Nuggets. They're ranked number one. We were ranked 4 in the West. They were up 2-0. Then we came back 2-2. It was actually very epic showing from two of our players. Basically played 2v5 the entire series because everybody was dog shit. And then we get destroyed. We lost the next two games. The last one was by like 30 points. It was embarrassing, just like the year before. So Sun season has ended, which it was one of those performances that I was just laughing at how bad they were playing. But at the same time, I look at the roster and it's like, we have two like God tier players and everybody else was fucking horrible. Anyway, we fired our coach and, and I think that this, we're doing interviews for 5 coaches right now. So by the next week, we probably will have a new coach. So we'll see what happens then. But interesting things for the NBA, Sindarin.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lakers were the 7 seed, right?
Yep.
And they lucked the fuck out. First of all, they made some good trades at the deadline, so they weren't as bad as the 7 seed usually is.
Mm-hmm.
But they got very lucky in that they played the Memphis Grizzlies first, who are the 2nd seed, and that's the guy with Ja Morant who showed a gun on... We talked about this, right?
Or not? Maybe.
It's a superstar player that was like flashing a gun on Instagram, so he got suspended a bunch of games. And basically, that whole team imploded despite being the 2nd seed. So it actually ended up being a very easy series for the Lakers. By the way, on top of that, he did it again. Ja Morant did it again, and he might be suspended for like most of next season. Like, huge. This is like one of the biggest news things in sports right now. He did it again. Fucking gun on Instagram. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude. Get your shit together. And it's all these sponsors are going to drop out now. He's making $250 million over the course of the next few years. And all of that is in jeopardy now because of that. Anyway, that's a side point.
Well,
yes,
you don't technically know how big his NRA sponsorship is, though.
That is true.
That one might be insane.
That is true.
What if they're paying him $1 billion a year?
I don't know. NRA are very into white people. So that would be kind of weird for them to cross into any other.
I mean, you got to get with the times. They might be, you know.
They're finally catching up, maybe.
They're expanding a bit.
Anyway, Lakers, they win the first series. They play the Golden State Warriors, who I thought had been horrendous the whole year. I think they lucked out again. So the Lakers actually ended up in the Western Conference Final, Sindarin, despite being a 7th seed and being god-awful. They get crushed 4-0. They get swept by the Denver Nuggets. So the Denver Nuggets, who beat us, are now in the finals.
And they beat the Lakers harder, which is very important.
Yes, that's what everybody's talking about on the internet, of course, right now.
Yeah, now everybody forgot about you and they'll remember the Lakers losing.
So here's the other crazy thing. The NBA is actually so insane. So this year, we talked about it a bit last time. The 8 seed, Miami Heat, on the East, are in the conference finals now. They beat the first seed to start, which is only done like 4 times. They win the 2nd round. They're in the 3rd round, and yesterday they were up 3-0. Against the 2nd seed Celtics, who are favored by so much to the point where... So let me just put this in perspective. Sorry for people that hate the NBA segment. 3-0, no one in the history of the NBA has ever come back from down 3-0, okay?
Okay.
They're down 3-0, and the Celtics are such heavy favorites on paper that Vegas still favors them to win games. It's insane. Insane. So
what?
They lost game 4, so it's now 3-1. But the Miami Heat will likely be in the finals against the Denver Nuggets, which is mind-boggling. So that's the NBA news. Thank you.
Yeah, Shannon, it's a bit bittersweet for me because I want you to be happy. I want your team to win. But I also like that you're going to be there the whole time.
Yeah, why don't you tell everybody what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. So I don't think we talked about this on the podcast, did we?
No.
But Shannon basically said, so if you guys missed the announcement from, I think it was either yesterday or the day before.
We can talk about, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're going to Stockholm to cover Dream League Season 20.
Yes.
We're covering the entirety of it together, primarily casting, I believe. I don't know if there's going to be some other stuff for either of us, maybe, but we're announced at casters anyway. And Shannon told me up front, he was like, Sin, if the Suns make the finals, I might travel home and watch them live.
No.
And then I would just be stranded there casting with no one.
No. It's, okay. So the way that it lined up is
it would be halfway through the season, right?
The first half of the finals would be during the first part of Dream League.
Right.
So I would, in theory, miss that first half of Dream League and then transition. Of course, I didn't tell anybody at ESL this, so maybe they wouldn't have been okay with it, but that...
Oh, I thought you were going to miss the second half, not the first
half. No, it was first half.
I see.
Because it overlaps. But yeah, that people were... And this is where there's a big disconnect between me and other people in Dota. Nobody has anything that's remotely like this, that they don't understand why somebody would do that.
No, I think when we talked about it, I think we talked about this in the green room, actually, at the Berlin Major. And I think some people understood that you were that passionate about it, that you wanted to do that, because it was like a potential once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime kind of thing to experience your favorite team win. We just had a talk about it. Like, I don't think I have a fandom of that magnitude that I would miss half of doing Dream League, for example, for it, right?
Like, potentially the full thing too, because they might not have been okay with it, right? So I would have prioritized this.
Part of me, I can't really decide if I envy you or if I'm happy that I'm not that heavily invested in something else, because I feel like it must be really nice. It's like a really strong purpose, you know, almost that you have every year. Like, you're really just into this thing. But it was just interesting because we were talking about, I was like, if someone I really wanted to see in concert, that was like the closest I could get, right, to where that would be something I would really want to go to, I still wouldn't do that. So,
yeah, I don't.
You're just a super fan.
I guess
it's your name, you know.
That's right. Got to back it up, you know.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about that because the Suns fucking blow anus. Okay.
On to good placement.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm telling you, we have these two players. I don't want to talk about it. All right, DPC. Let's discuss the... What are we at? The halfway point?
Pretty much.
Past it.
We just do one region at a time and talk about...
Okay.
Hots and colds.
So for Western Europe, we have Tundra, Gaiman, Team Liquid, and Quest Esports in the top four. Quest is the team with ATF.
Yeah, it's the team from last season that almost made it. It was Orudu Thunders. They got in a three-way tie, I believe it was, and lost it. Either a three-way or a two-way tie, and they were ridiculously close to making the major, and a lot of people were really cheering for them because it's always cool to get new teams in the major. This time it might happen as well. They're looking pretty good.
They 2-1 OG as well. I'm sure that must have felt really good for Amar.
Yep. That was a pretty big win for them. Yeah, so can't say I'm surprised about the top three. Tundra, Gaiman, and Liquid, as usual, look really good. We'll see what the final order ends up being. Teams currently in relegation position are Secret and Hustlers, which can still very easily change because all of the bottom four currently have one win, except D1 Hustlers that have zero. So there's a lot of really important games coming up for who gets to stay in the division and who gets relegated. But if Secret also don't make this major... Then keep in mind, Puppy has played at every TI. This year will be the, I think, hardest for him ever to even get there. Because if he doesn't make this major, he can't make it on DPC points. That means he has to play the qualifiers. And I think the qualifiers are just harder and harder every year. Like, there's just a gauntlet of good teams you will need to get through here.
Yep.
So, really important for them. And also, like, confidence, the final... form of the team as well. And you got to keep in mind, if your results are like this, you're not exactly attracting top tier players if you want to make swaps. Puppy has so insane legacy that even though this year so far has been pretty bad for them, he's still getting really good players, but everything in Dota is on a timer. So he might be feeling the pressure a little bit himself as well, where if he reaches a point where the results just aren't really coming in anymore, can he actually attract the players that allow him to get them anymore? I know it's a pretty dire outlook, but I'll tell you myself, I've been there. I know what that's like. So he has a really big challenge ahead of him, and
imagine,
you know,
getting,
for the sake of the game and himself, I hope he can overcome that.
Imagine getting last place, then top 12, then top 8, then top 6, then top 4, then top 3, then top 2, and then not making that last TI. Holy shit.
It's almost poetic in a way. It's like either he wins or doesn't make it at all, right?
Yeah, that would be sad.
Anyway, that's Western Europe. So Let's move on to Eastern Europe. To no one's surprise, really, Nine Pandas are doing great. They look really good at the major. They're currently 3-0. BetBoom are 2-0. And after that, everything is a bit of a question mark. Spirit have only played one series, so they're 1-0, and therefore they're not in the top three, but they haven't lost yet. So technically, they kind of are top three.
How have they only played one series?
Yeah, I don't know. This schedule is really weird. I don't know how they've only played one. Every other team has played twice or more. Some teams have played four times. Spirit have played once. They have a very condensed schedule now. They're playing four times in the next week. Five times in the next week, actually. So a lot of games coming up for them. But yeah, so far, Nine Pandas and BetBoom in the leading roles. And only one real bottom dog here. I don't know how to pronounce this team name. Waleikum ni hao, I think.
Sounds good, yeah.
And then the other... I mean, they're currently in fifth, but I would say Hydra with a 1-3 score also likely to get relegated with how things are looking, but lots of things can still happen. And the midway point, China, a team a lot of people were very excited about, Azure Ray, is currently in second. That's the team with Somnus, Chalice, and FY, making a case here that they still got it. Astra are undefeated, though. They're 4-0 with 8-0 in games. But Azure Ray, Invictus Gaming, and LGD all in tied second place. Azure Ray have lost one series to Extreme Gaming. Actually, Extreme Gaming are also in second. So there's a four-way tie currently. But obviously, things are going to change. And the current bottom runners are Team Bright, Astra Aries, and Piggy Killer.
I was going to
mention. Which I think is an incredible team name and logo.
It's so unlike China, right?
That is so random.
It's awesome.
That is Fly Fly and XM's team, with Frisk as well. Yeah, that's interesting. All right. Southeast Asia. Big dogs this time around for now is Bleed. So that is the team with Ice 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 and DJ, I guess most notably for Western fans.
And Dubu.
They're currently 4-0. Talon looking good still with 3-1. And then after that, it becomes very cloudy who could take the third spot. I mean, it's obviously not a done deal for the top two, but they're looking better than the rest. But Blacklist, Execration, 2-2. And then Army Genius is 1-2. So they've just played this games. Boom are 1-3. Could be another season where Boom just don't quite make the cut after they looked like one of the most promising SEA teams earlier this season. In NA, would you believe it?
Oh boy.
Shopify Rebellion and TSM are currently top two with Nouns in third.
Wow.
Nouns have not lost yet, but they also haven't played Shopify or TSM. And TSM have lost once, and they lost to Shopify, which is actually kind of uncommon because most of the time TSM has had their number and then Shopify beaten everyone else.
Yeah.
But this time Shopify haven't lost a game. They're 8-0. They crushed TSM 2-0. I believe that series wasn't even close, if I remember correctly. Let me just have a look if I can find it here. Oh, yeah, that was week one. Yeah, Shopify ran them over. So, yep, that's NA for you. Currently looking like Alpha and Felt will be knocked down, but we could have a tiebreaker situation like last season. There's a lot of teams that are pretty close in the bottom. And finally, SA. Would you believe it? Number two. Evil Geniuses in first currently and Beast Coast in second, tied with Thunder Awaken. Everything as usual. Nothing different here. Balrogs and Infinity are looking like bottom two together with Infamous. But
Beast Coast did lose to Mad Kings, though.
They did.
So that is odd.
It is. That does open the potential door for Thunder Awaken. If they can get through Beast Coast themselves later on.
Yep.
But for now, we've seen this countless times with Beast Coast. The higher the stakes, the better they are. So if they're pressured and they have to win and the enemy team is going to be feeling that pressure, that's where I will always believe in Beast Coast.
Always.
When it's do or die.
Believe.
Yep. Within SA, it's a do or die game. Beast Coast will win. There you go. That's just how the team works. So
yeah.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Okay. Next thing on the list, since I think this was before our last podcast, but we didn't talk about it because we had Quinn on. Kipps made a tweet, pretty long thread.
Yep.
I'll just read the first couple. It is my displeasure to announce that most of the SA DPC English casters are on strike due to bottom tier pay. BTS Brazil has abused the privilege of hosting the South American DPC to lure inexperienced talent and underpay them. Anyone who does not fold gets replaced with cheaper talent. I'm not exaggerating when I say that all five talent on the South American Div 1 best of three combined earn roughly the same per best of three as a single caster on the Eastern European Div 1, and this is after the South American rates got double from Tour 1. It goes on with some more... I mean... You have any thoughts on this? I know where this is going to go. It's going to be about Valve. It's going to be about Valve eventually, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? I don't know if this is the right word, but I'm just happy, I guess, that they're standing up for themselves. Because, there's only... I know some people are going to just have the argument that, oh, it's a free market, you know, just if others are willing to do it for cheap or whatever. But I mean, if talent that you recognize that are usually covering these events and that have value to these events start striking and you get worse coverage, then you can only hope that the organizers see the backlash, like see the declining quality in the product, see loss of viewer numbers, etc. If you're not willing to pay for what things cost, like... That said, from what I understand, a lot of the people on strike here are not making the argument that they should be paid the same as a Western European Div 1, for example, because I think the magnitude of those games and the viewership it draws in they just have a different budget, right? Mm-hmm. It just makes sense. But for this, it seems like the numbers that are being put forward here effectively without saying what the numbers are sound ridiculously low. So I guess with that in mind, it's also a quote unquote easy strike to go on in a way, because how much are you truly losing?
Right.
But maybe that's also a little bit of a privilege to have because it's like, well, if these people, if this is what's paying their bills, then it's actually a pretty big step to take, right?
If it wasn't paying their bills before, I mean, you're getting exposure, right?
If you're struggling to make ends meet, this is not going to, the pay that's being offered to you isn't going to make ends meet anyway, right?
Yeah. So I would think so, based on those numbers.
Yeah. So hopefully this leads to something. I think it's kind of important here to, I just want to, because I think there will be some misunderstanding here. To my knowledge, just to clear BTS, that is LD and Gods, you know, the good old BTS. BTS Brazil are not, they're like affiliated by name, but this is not something that's being orchestrated by LD and Gods. This is a separate entity that is using the BTS name. So it's probably reflecting negatively on them, but they're not the ones at fault, to my understanding. Mm-hmm. It's not a centralized BTS thing. It's always important not to point fingers at the wrong people. But yeah, really shit situation all around, right? It's definitely not good.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk... I feel like this... Let's combine topics. This was going to be the second topic, okay? So PGL production for Western EU and NA, there's you know, a lot of backlash because they are doing it remote now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's combine these two things, because I think Valve is at the center of these and what the requirements are and whatnot. I can't speak for what is in the contracts these days, what's required when you're pitching, you know, coverage for a DPC. I was under the impression in the past that it had to be studio, in studio. And then COVID came, and that's the reason why I think a couple regions at the time were able to get away with remote. Like BTS actually did the BTS NA region for a bit. But for the most part, there's requirements that each region has to follow. English coverage, whatever other language coverage. They have to be in studio. Is that changing now? Like, it just sounds like things are just getting worse in the DPC. The DPC feels very ghetto compared to even just a year ago.
Feels a bit less prestigious overall in some ways. I don't know what the exact requirements were when pitching, and I don't know if they have changed because I've never been in the position to do it. So I wouldn't know for a fact when or if that changed, but I think the fact of the matter is when you compare the previous season from PGL to this one, it's very clear that it's a massive cutback. And the only assumption that I can make on this is that they were not able to land sponsors similar to previous two DPCs, right? So in season one and two, they had what I would imagine was a pretty sizable deal with Esports Bet. And there could be multiple things happening there. Maybe they did not get the return on investment that they were looking for. Maybe they are changing their strategy. Maybe they're folding. I don't know, honestly. But that was, I would imagine that sponsorship largely carried the previous two seasons. And it's not a sponsor this season, right? So that's possible that that's what it is. As for other regions, I mean, this is just the PGL coverage of Western Europe and NA and China, right? Other regions have been covered. Last DPC season, weren't other regions covered online, at least some of them? They weren't all in studio, right?
I mean, I think it maybe depended on
language. I think SA was online. And I think SEA was in studio. And SEA is also in studio this time. By the way, they're doing a really good job over there. It's pretty cool setup.
I don't know what rules have changed, if any, or if they're just not being enforced, right? And this goes back to the previous topic of people getting paid literally nothing, or in some cases, basically nothing. Like, this is stuff that I think Valve need to enforce in some way. Like, I think there's a common misconception, and I will say I don't have 100% confirmation on this, but it's pretty close. I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, that when somebody's pitching a DPC, there's no money exchange with Valve either way. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen on Reddit people saying, oh, PGL paid Valve or vice versa. No, there's no, as far as I know, there's no money exchange at all. And I know that WePlay, BTS, ESL, they've all wanted to do Western Europe or whatever region of DPC. None of them are doing it. Now PGL are doing it, and it's remote all of a sudden. And then South America, nobody's getting paid enough. Like, what the fuck's going on? This is easily fixed by just giving it to people that have done stuff in the past successfully, that are very passionate about the community, about Dota. Like, what's the problem? What's the issue?
I think, so without knowing this for a fact, I think Valve, this deal for this, for example, for this season three of the DPC, I think Valve might have struck a deal with PGL for all three seasons in advance. So if that deal is there, then obviously that's just that. And if PGL aren't required by that agreement to do everything in studio, then they don't have to, right?
They got a good deal.
I feel
guess.
Like if it was in contractual obligation for PGL from Valve to do it in studio, they would. So I can only assume that they made a deal. And that PGL, because of, again, this is speculation, but I'm assuming it's because of lack of major sponsorship, have had to cut back this season to not make it a massive deficit for them to run the season.
Here's the other part, and I understand this because I've run tournaments in the past. Sometimes you just can't make money on something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can understand, like, one side needing to cut costs or whatever, but when other people are willing to eat that cost, then
Right.
Why are these other people running it then?
But that's what I'm saying. If that's a contract that's in place from the start of the season, you can't just be like, you know, if there is a contract that Valve has with PGL, that PGL are running all three seasons, then you can't at season three, PGL, if PGL is like, we can't, we're not going to make as big of a product as we did in the first two. If that's not a requirement per the contract, Valve can't just be like, all right, we're just getting someone else. Like, they just can't, no. They can't breach the contract like that.
I don't, that's just nothing to do. I don't think any contract is being, I don't know if you're, if we're on the same page here. I don't think any contract is being breached. I don't think anybody's upset about this. And that's the problem. The two parties are not.
That's what I'm saying. Cause you're like, why don't you just let some other organizer that wants to begin invest more with, into it run it?
Oh, when this was originally pitched, all of these people came together to try to get these regions. None of them got it. PGL got three regions or whatever.
Like, yeah.
Come on. Spread it out.
Yeah, that's a very good question, like you said, because if there's no exchange of money between Valve and the organizer, I would agree that there's value in variety as well in not giving all three seasons to the same org. So if multiple orgs wanted them, I would have definitely, I think it's good to have competition. It drives better products. The variety is refreshing for both people working and people watching. And I think you're also seeing there's a ton of positive feedback on Dream League, right? Because it's just something else. They're doing their thing. They're doing a good job. And there's other people. However, I'll say at least from my personal experience, doing season one and two of the DPC with PGL was completely fine. So I don't feel like they like massively dropped the ball or anything in either of those two seasons. But it obviously sucks that that they had to cut back so majorly this time, which is obviously going to paint things in a really bad light. But
well, and that's the other part of the conversation. It's like, maybe it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things because you have Dream League. Mm-hmm. I just look at the comparison of Dream League and then the DPC.
Yeah.
If you're just a random ass person stumbling on a Dota stream, let's say you have both up at the same time, which one do you think is officially sanctioned and part of the like the official DPC circuit for Dota? Like, come on. It's not close.
Yeah.
Not close. But maybe that's a good thing. Like, with the Dream League stuff and with Riyadh or whatever, all these big tournaments coming up from the ESL side, we talked about the competition with TI. Like, maybe that's just going to be what people go to, because the DPC seems like it's gone downhill big time to me. But maybe it's too early to tell. Like, maybe it's just a one-off.
I mean, if you want to take a positive perspective here, there's a chance that if this isn't going the way Valve wanted, then for next season, things will be different, right? And we will have a bigger spread, or if there are people that are more willing to invest, they will be more likely to get the job. But that's the optimist speaking there. The pessimist is, this is what we're declining, and it's just the optimist still alive inside of you
after all these years. How does that exist still? I'm envious, my friend. Fuck.
Oh, I was just presenting two different viewpoints. Okay.
How does that little voice inside your head still exist?
This is what's happening next season. I don't fucking know.
Well, of course you don't know. Well, let's piggyback off of that onto more PGL news. We kind of talked about this on the Quinn episode, but PGL made a decision regarding bait and their inability to have any members in NA because of, I think, Ukrainian law, or was it?
Yep.
Was it just just shut down or something?
New law in Ukraine prevents them from traveling and playing in NA.
So bait will still participate in NA despite being in Europe, all five. And obviously, this is a force majeure. We talked about it. I'm fine with this because
I think this is a good decision personally. Yeah.
But I think this is still connected to the Fart Studio stuff. It's like, okay, like, you're obviously, there's force majeure does exist. We actually talked about that, right? Like, does force majeure not exist in their contract or something like that? Like, they're just going by letter of the law, but no. There's no letter of the law anymore. It's based on the circumstance. So I just find that to be very strange.
I mean, for me, it's actually, I mean, people obviously, I'm not going to say they're up in arms over this, but like, there's definitely some pretty strong discussion going on with this. But to me, it's, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think PGL made two decisions. One I disagree with, one I agree with. And they are different in nature, so you could definitely argue that you could do different things in either of them. I just think both teams should have been allowed to play. And that's that. I personally think that if you said, well, Bate, you're not in NA, so you can't play, I actually think the backlash would have been more negative. Right? It's like, I feel like PGL just can't win here. Because if they say, no, guys, you're not in NA, you can't play, then people will be like, they can't fucking go to NA because there's a war.
Right.
How's that fair? Like, that's force majeure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that they do let them play from home, people are like, what the fuck? They're not in NA. Why couldn't Fart Studios play? And I think if PGL would have let both teams play, there would have been zero drama.
I agree.
So that's my take. And the Fart Studios thing we went over in the past was like, it's one of those things where you have a clause in the rules always that it's at the admin's mercy to decide in edge cases. And I think that was an edge case where they made the wrong decision. And I think this is an edge case where they made the right decision. It's always going to be subjective, but you know.
Now that's where the interesting thought process comes into play, where if Fart Studios was Secret or Nigma or whatever team that has a large backing, is there a different decision?
That is definitely a speculation you could have.
Because I would argue that they would have let them play in that case.
But and for me, if that's the case, then the decision is just way worse.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's obviously an ideological perspective to have that all teams deserve the same treatment, et cetera, but they really do. It's a competition. Everyone should have the same footing, should have the same, you know, the same server rules, the same
same rules. Like for Fart Studios, it's not like the end of the world because they're not competing for TI or something. The money didn't really matter for, I would assume, most of the players. But I think it was good content, so we did lose out on that in theory.
At the same time, though, I will say it does matter for them because they actually had to replace a player, right?
What I'm saying is they're playing for fun. They're playing for fun. It's not like a serious, serious team, but I don't think that should really go into like the decision making, right? Because I feel like maybe that came into play as well. Potentially.
I mean, I kind of disagree with just saying they play for fun because obviously there's inherent monetary value for them, right? If they make Div 1, there's the prize pool of Div 1, but it's also really good for their brands to be present. So I think there's more at stake for them in these tournaments than you might think, despite them being talent. I just think that has a lot of value on top of being fun, right? It's like you said, it's great content, which means people, you know, watch their YouTube, their streams. And so
it's true. I think to a degree.
It's pretty profitable for them to play this, I think. So them just being straight out disqualified for it is, I think, is a decent blow, honestly. Enough that they had to change a player that I think they wanted to play with because they weren't allowed. So,
all right, so that ends that segment. That's like a kind of three topics wrapped into one. I just feel like Valve need to enforce rules or make, I don't know, are the rules even public for this kind of thing? I don't know what the direction
or
of the
which
DPC...
part for the...
Well, not the PGL stuff. The DPC lack of quality remote/LAN or payments for casters. Like, I just find it weird that it's at the discretion of the organizer how little they can pay. There should be... This is the thing I know Valve really hates to do, and I totally understand why. Because if you have to manage like this, like a basic thing, like paying somebody like a normal amount of money, then they have to do everything. Like, they don't want to do that, obviously. But then it goes into... like that's still your responsibility in theory because you're putting those people in charge, right? By extension of who you give the regions to. So I think that the decision all around, like, I don't know what their process is for getting DPC regions spread out, but it's not good this season, IMO. Okay, let's talk a bit about Taiga. So there's some rumors that have been swirling about.
Oh, God.
And I'll just read his
message.
Have I
ever told you I fucking hate people, actually? Not Taiga.
Okay, what?
Good.
Talk to
me about
it.
Let me just preface. There you go. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so this is a message he left in, it looks like, Discord. Sorry for keeping you guys in the dark, but I have been having anxiety and depression for a while. It just got worse after TI. I might seem like I'm fine, but I really wasn't. That's why my performances has been very shaky. I'm in therapy right now to get better, and it's been helping me to get back my drive and motivation to come back streaming and pubbing. It's not fully there yet, but I'm taking the steps towards healing. So what were you going to say about people sucking? Because I actually missed a bit of the context. Okay. I saw some rumors initially.
Right. So to my understanding, the way this was all brought about was that there started being rumors that Taiga was throwing first bloods in OG's series, which is that's a really serious accusation to have. It's about competitive integrity. So if you don't have anything to back it up with except, oh, this guy isn't playing well or he's dying in first blood quite a few times, then it's really fucking damaging to just throw something like that out there with zero evidence, just as a statement. I'm not 100% sure exactly who started it, where it came from. There are some names being thrown around, but I'm not going to 100% pin it on someone without being sure, because I don't want to do the same thing that this guy has just had to deal with. So the reason this sucks is, first of all, there's the accusations, and then there's the community's backlash with it, right? Because then a lot of people read this shit. It's from maybe some prominent figures, and they start targeting Taiga, and they, you know, call him out. You're like, yeah, OG aren't playing well. This guy's fucking throwing, or he's shit, you know, and he just has to deal with this garbage. And, you know, a lot of the time, there's probably a pretty fucking good reason for it underlying here. And now the kicker. Here's the funniest part. Knoxville, of course, went and did some stats on this. He just looked into it. Taiga had the second best first blood ratio at the Berlin Major. He got first blood 5 more times than he gave it away. And in the DPC season 2, he was 3-1. So like, it's even fucking baseless, you know? It's like, the numbers aren't even there. If you at least could be like, yeah, this guy's dying a lot at first blood, you could be like, okay, you know, you guys want to fucking speculate? Sure, go ahead. But there isn't even any... It's just bullshit, you know? And think about being in this person's shoes. You're already, you know, struggling with mental health, and then you have to deal with that shit, which is why he probably felt forced to come out and make this statement. He probably wanted to deal with this shit in private, right? And now he had to defend himself, which this was probably hard to write, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're dealing with mental health, you know, there's this, like, how to say, there's the thing that people are like, talking about it makes it better. Talking about it on your terms makes it better. You don't necessarily want to share it with the world. You don't necessarily want to, you know, invite people into your private life. And you kind of got forced to because of some bullshit. So
yeah, that's true.
That's why I said I just fucking hate people. It's just shit. Like, why does this guy have to deal with that? He's fighting enough battles as it is.
Yeah. And I will say, I don't know Taiga very well. Obviously, the few times that we've briefly talked, he's a super nice guy. Really nice guy. I've always liked him.
This guy's in like the top 1 percentile of Dota that I could not imagine doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like,
yeah.
Seriously?
And I know that there's a bunch, we've probably talked about some in the past, and there's a bunch that I know of that we will not talk about because it's not public. A lot of players that have gone or that have had mental health issues. And I think obviously I don't want to speculate too much, but I would imagine just from the outside, these are young kids that are exposed to a large amount of people that have a lot of hate in them, especially when you lose. I mean, briefly owning DC a year and a half, I cannot tell you how many death threats we received because of basically betting. I would actually put 90% of it, if not more, because of betting.
Oh, for sure.
And it's not healthy. And these kids, we talk about it all the time. We make fun at times as well because it is funny. But these kids, they have no social awareness, right? Because they haven't developed anything. They're fucking kids. Some of these, like Sumail came in at fucking 14 or 15, whatever he was, right? Like you're just in front of a computer. Your entire world is Dota. Like even I have terrible social skills and I'm in my late 30s now. So yeah, I can't imagine what that's like. We hope for the best for Taiga, obviously. And I mean, this is something that I think in the last few years, in general, people have gotten better at talking about and making it more accepting to talk about mental health. So
yes,
for anybody that's having issues at home, just make sure you take care of yourself. Talk to somebody if you need to. But yeah, players have a very stressful life. Let's just say that because there's a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure. to perform, especially when you're on these big teams. So hopefully things work out well for Tyga. Good guy.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Okay, let's talk about Ability Arena, Sindarin.
Mm-hmm.
Season 6 has cometh. I'm going to go to the blog post. You should turn on the stream for this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Ability Arena Season 6 has been released. Comes with 8 new gods and 15 new spells, which is a bit deceiving. It's a few new spells, but before we had 175 spells and it's narrowed down to 100. Now it's 190 spells narrowed down to 100. So giving more variety for each game. And I wanted to talk about a lot of the cool stuff that are in this patch. So the Battle Pass, there's a new Galaxy God chest, which we'll talk about some of the new gods in there. This is the Arc. Sorry about this for the listeners out there. You can maybe describe what you're seeing, Cinder. The Arcane spawn effect at level 23. How would you say that this looks?
It looks like Puck coming out of phase shift.
That's right. Very good. Tavern Arena is at level 55 of the Battle Pass. So this is like, it was originally called Brewmaster, but it's not. It's just a tavern. So we just called it.
Funnily enough, this Tavern Arena is inspired by a very famous map in TF2.
No, that one's untrue. Good try,
all
though.
Right.
The fact that you didn't know 2-Fort will still go down as one of my favorite moments on the podcast.
You were so appalled.
I was so confused. We have nature spawn effects at level 60. These are just trees growing from the ground. This is my favorite
coming
one.
Coming in with Furion Teleport.
Level 200 is the Chess Arena, which is amazing. Holy shit.
Funnily enough, this arena is inspired by the game Chess.
That's right. And it looks like
it's an old game. This game, actually, it's kind of cool that you guys are reinventing chess. I'm not sure how long this game has been around for. Let me see.
That's a good question.
All right, I just Googled chess. All right, Wikipedia is actually the third hit.
Only pawns are left. I don't know what happened to the king or queen, but it matters not.
The active... Okay, wait, what?
Go ahead.
When is chess actually from?
I mean, I'm sure if you're talking about the current version of chess.
The current version, it says 15th century. Okay. Predecessors, circa 900 years earlier. So chess is from the 6th century, Shannon.
Well, predecessors is probably very different, I would imagine. But maybe.
Yeah, so let's just say the current version of chess is from the 1400s.
Yeah, okay.
This is a throwback.
Yeah.
It's a 600-year-old map.
So you can consider this a retro arena. Thank you very much. Okay, so we changed something. Click effects now have sound for everyone. So not only can you see people clicking your board, but you can hear it as well.
And this one is with a cat.
This one is a cat click effect. I'm going to play it so you'll hear it and see it. It's at level 70. And there's a little ball. You can push the ball around. How cuddly is that? And it changes color.
And you're saying, excuse me, you're saying everyone can hear this?
That's right, Cinderin.
So you can literally go on their board and just spam click the
That's
mouse?
That's right. Oh, we'll get to what you can do if
and
you don't like that.
And there's a cat there.
That's right. There's a cat.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a new sound pack. So the first sound in these sound packs will be the Gaben sound. And the rest are like the one where you get when there's more than 5, right?
Okay.
So this is the Opera sound pack, level 35.
Gaben! Woo! That's a lot of Gabens! Gabens juicy milkers! Gaben overload!
All right, let me just say... You work on Fiverr. You show up to a day of work, and somebody makes you fucking sing Gaben's Juicy Milkers. Do you feel embarrassed or do you feel like you have a rich life that you get to do this for a living?
It's so funny. It's so good. Jenkins does the Fiverr stuff, but he tells me the stories about, they're like asking questions about, it's like, what's Gaben mean? I'm like, oh, it's okay. The second one is the Scottish Bastard Sound Pack, which is level 61. And I'm going to tell a story about it after I play it. So this one has the one Gaben sound, and we made it kind of a rare so that the rares that come after, there's 10 different versions, okay? So here okay. we go.
Oh, yeah, that's a Gaben right there. Oh, Gaben's Juicy Milkers. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a lot of babies. It smells like cabbage. Everyone here can suck it. Why don't you just bite me? I've got bigger balls than you. Ooh, yeah, I like that. Ooh, that's a tasty treat. Oh, your mother must be so proud of you.
So, would you like to hear the story about that? So, originally, we go on Fiverr, okay? So this is what, usually we have an idea of what kind of sound pack we want. We go on Fiverr and we look for a voice that's fitting, right? Right. We wanted just an old man wizard. I went through dozens of different wizards, and I'm very picky, as you know, with old men voices for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find anything I liked. So I'm like thinking, like, wait, my brother is actually a very, even though he doesn't do it professionally, he's the best person I've ever met with voices. And he really, like, he can do, like, I'm not even exaggerating, he can do every accent, like, from an English perspective, every accent from, like, basically every country. Like, he's done a thing where he does the entire world one by one on the countries. Mm-hmm. Insane. And I know one character he really liked was Fat Bastard, which I don't know if you saw this movie, called Austin Powers.
No.
So, it's just this fat slob.
I've seen some Austin Powers. I don't know if, okay, anyway.
Fat Bastard is in Austin Powers. So I told him, can you do that voice for this? So we call it the Scottish Bastard sound pack. And that's what we have. So that's my brother. moving on. We reworked the God avatars a bit. I'm going to show it here. So when you highlight why is this thing here? So before we had like badges show up on the avatars and it made it really messy with cosmetics, even though you can see the bots here don't have any cosmetics. So the ranks no longer show. Instead, when you highlight, that's where the ranks show. It also shows if you have the battle pass, what battle pass level you have, if you have plus or not. And depending on what god you are, sometimes there's extra information. So for Ogre, you can see like somebody else, what their multicast chance is. Or if you're playing playing against an alchemist, you can see how much gold they have. Or playing against Icefire, I can see what spell they've chosen, etc. And then the one thing...
What does the 14 over your nickname mean when everyone else is 98 or more?
That's my health, Sindarin.
Yes.
And the other thing is, you can mute people now. So, ever since we came out with the sexy sound pack, you know, the moaning woman.
That is still the best one you've had.
We had a lot of complaints about it. Like, I just want to mute this. Well, now you can pay $5 a month for Plus, and it allows you to mute not only that, Sindarin, but the click effects of that player as well. So if they're clicking on your board, you won't hear it anymore. And you won't hear their Gaben sounds anymore. So that's
effectively pay for convenience.
That is pay for convenience. And please, we need money. Thank you. Okay, let's talk about the 8 new gods and we'll be done with this. My favorite new god is G-Man. Do you know who G-Man is?
It looks like someone from Half-Life.
That's right. It's the quote-unquote villain from Half-Life. Mm. So the way he works is actually pretty easy. On rounds 6 and 12, you get a shitty item, okay, a really bad item that doesn't exist in the Pantheon rounds. So in theory, if you go late enough, you can have 5 items, so 1 item for each hero, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you can put any amount of up to 3, I guess. You can put up to 3 items on your bench, your item bench, and reroll them. So you're basically just rerolling items the whole time and trying to get the best item possible. And the higher your shop level, the better chance you'll get for getting S tier items. That's the god. Very simple. I find it to be the most fun. This is based off of Atomic War, Nature's Prophet, which is the only god I like playing in that game. So that's G-Man. You get him at level 41 of the Battle Pass. Level 80 of the Battle Pass is Undying. This one's slightly complicated to talk about. Tell me if I do a good job of explaining it. You click on a hero, you become a tombstone. As a tombstone, you can't cast any spells or do anything. The tombstone itself does a little bit of damage over time, and it slows attack speed in the area. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you come out of the tombstone, which there's a duration to it, up to whatever how many seconds, there's two buffs that get applied to the hero. Both buffs are inversely related. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. So at the beginning, let's say the tombstone gets killed right away, you get the max of the first buff, which is the max strength bonus. And you get none of the max damage amp bonus. But the longer you wait, the more the damage amp gets increased, but the lower the strength gain goes. So if you're going to frontline it and you want it to die right away, it gets targeted just like a hero, then you'll get like this big bonus HP boost. Whereas if you put it in the back and protect it, you can put a DPS and you get a big damage boost. Or in some cases, people like using like Black Hole, like because everybody crowds around the tombstone at the end because it's the last unit alive, something like that.
Right.
So is that confusing?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Not
That's
at all.
Undying. We have Axe, who's...
Why doesn't he have Grab Ally?
I mean, that's basically close enough, right? You become the
grabbed ally.
That's right. Axe is in the God Chest 3. Pretty simple god. He is kind of a tank, a tank spellcaster. So for any hero, you don't have to select anybody. It's just your whole team. Each time they cast a spell, they get a temporary boost of armor. And it lasts like 15 seconds. So like 3 armor per cast, lasting 15 seconds. So the more you're casting, the more tanky you get from an armor perspective. In addition to that, his second skill is Battle Hunger. Your whole team, the amount of damage that they're mitigating via physical attacks, thanks to their armor, they cast out random Battle Hungers, which do damage, just like in Dota, based on how much armor you have. So you're incentivized to get spell casting, armor spells, because if you get Grow, that's just you're getting armor, which is doing more damage with Battle Hunger, and you just synergize it with everything. So yeah, that's Axe. So
Scott sounds fun.
Yeah, kind of unique. Liking where he's at right now. Quite possibly the most broken god in this patch. Keeper of the Light, Jenkins' creation. Also available.
He did something broken again that has to do with cooldown reduction. Well, what do you fucking know?
Every time.
This guy just figure it out?
I know. This is in the God Chest 3 as well. You select one hero and each time you cast a spell, it reduces the cooldown on the rest of your abilities on the hero, but not the one that you're using. So you have Arc Lightning, you're spamming it, and over time, you reduce the cooldowns of the other spells that you have, which people are using to... I've actually seen a permanent Rolling Thunder. Think about that. Permanent Rolling Thunder. Insane. You also get mana cost reduction, so you don't have to have... like a mana spell, like Arcane Aura or something like that on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Keeper of the Light. Necrophos, also available in the God Chest 3. Another kind of basic god, but not exactly a god that we have. Like in terms of healing, we don't have a lot of healing gods. Basically, Medic is the main one. But he has two abilities, Heartstopper, very basic. Everybody, including your units, take damage over time. So it's both percentage-based and just a base magical amount. And it upgrades with shop level. So everybody's taking more damage, so you're incentivized to get healing, you're incentivized to get tanky
this
spells.
Close to the original Chaos God?
Yes. That's similar to Chaos God. And then on top of that, we have Stagnation, which is his second ability. It's just a passive heal amp. So this god, a lot of people thought was going to be super boring. I find him actually very fun. Because there's not many healing gods. I like tanky stuff. Mm-hmm. And upgrading the shop really fast, you're just taking a shit ton of damage. It's nice. So that's Necro. Spirit Breaker is the rare in the new chest. We took out Charger Darkness a couple seasons ago, and now it's just basically part of this god. So you get this ability as a fifth spell. It upgrades based on spell points. Very simple. It's the old charge. So this allows you to...
Does it have greater bash?
Yes, greater bash is at the end for the Gaben.
Okay.
So same ability, except you don't need a slot for it now. I think this opens up a lot of new strats for like some weird initiator slash DPS or maybe tanky guy. Lots of different ways to play it. Very basic. Second to last hero is Arc Warden. Very rare in this chest. He gets to select a unit. You get a double of that unit. The double gets one of the abilities that you have. And you can choose which one. You can toggle it.
Oh.
Both you and the doppelganger, or whatever the hell it's called, the double, do half damage in terms of attack. So,
but that's just the right-click damage, so the spells do full.
Correct.
Dude, this sounds sick with Quill Spray early game.
Yeah, Quill Spray is really good. Even like if you do a right-click build, Fury Swipes, it stacks, obviously.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of crazy ults.
Like, this sounds wild.
People thought this would be like an Ogre Magi, but it's not really. Because it's consistent, and you have the second body. There's a lot of cool strategies you can run with it. And on top of that, the double gets the item that you have equipped as well. So double sheep stick.
Oh.
That's a really powerful aspect to it as well. So
that sounds really good.
Yeah, Arc Warden's really good. And then finally, the extremely rare in the new God Chest is Invoker. This one took a long time to do. So it's actually not that complicated. You get Quas, Wex, Exhort, and you can toggle them how you like. And then it doesn't show on this card, but there's actually three more abilities. So you have Quas, Wex, Exhort. You have the two abilities that you can... Fuck, how do I explain this? You have Invoke as a fourth ability. Mm-hmm. So when you want to, like for right now, based on these orbs, you'd get Deafening Blast, right? You hit Invoke, you get Deafening Blast,
right,
which will become the fifth skill. And then you can do it again. You can get two Deafening Blasts if you want to hit it again. You get... The sixth spell becomes Deafening Blast as well. So you get two abilities from Invoker, and you can put them on any unit. You can put
and
them
they
on
can
this.
Be on two different units as well.
Right, they can be on two different units or the same. But if it's on the same, then you need to have them be different abilities, obviously, because they share cooldown.
Right.
So you can have two heroes with Deafening Blast, two heroes with... I mean, if you max Exhort, you get Cataclysm, for example. We have all the spells from Invoker. And he scales interestingly. So the Quas scales with shop level. The Exhort is spell points, and the Wex scales just based on round number, so just how long the game has gone at that point.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it. All the Invoker spells in the game now. So that's cool. And yeah, that is the patch in a nutshell. Thank you to whoever made that Reddit thread yesterday, shouting out Ability
Arena. Oh
yeah,
that's true. You got a lot of positive press.
That's right.
People were like, don't sleep on Suns fans mod.
They didn't mention Jenkins. You noticed that?
Yeah. That's the most important part. It's like, it's all Suns fan, and except the bad hero designs. So we can give Jenkins credit for the cooldown reduction heroes, but for everything else, it's just Suns fan.
That's right. That's pretty much true, of course. Okay, let's finish up this podcast with a quick talk about the Counter-Strike Major.
Yep.
Which it was the final major for CSGO ever in Paris for Blast TV. I watched it a bit. I'm not going to lie, Sindarin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these teams, I don't know the org. Gamer Legion, Team Vitality, never heard of them.
Wait, you've never heard of Vitality?
No, I don't really watch very much Counter-Strike.
Wait.
What is Vitality?
I thought you still watch somewhat regularly. Vitality are pretty big name.
Okay,
that's surprising. Very surprising to me, actually.
I do not watch many many tournaments at all.
Okay, so
now,
I would
the
say
player
the
names
eight,
I recognize.
The teams I could understand you haven't heard of would be Gamer Legion, Apex, and Monte, and Into the Breach.
Yes.
But those four are definitely, like, also coincidentally, probably the four biggest surprises of the major in any of the placements that they got, whether it's top eight or top four or second place in Gamers Legion's case. But yeah, this, I mean, I didn't watch too many of the games either or too much of the content in general, but there's a couple of things that are pretty almost poetic about this end of the tournament, so I know a little bit about what it meant. So first of all, Vitality are a majority, I guess majority is wrong, but there's two French players on Vitality, so they got to win on home soil in the final major, which is really cool. So Apex and Zywoo, I'm assuming you've heard of them.
Sure.
It was also Dupree's fifth major win, so now he's the only player with five major wins.
Man,
and he also, on top of that, is the only player to attend every major, too.
He's so, the puppy, kind of.
Absolutely incredible. Like, as much as we talk about Dota mainly, right? CSGO is also very competitive, so even making it to every major is insane, and then he's won five of them, which is like, he has about a 26% major win rate. Let that sink in for a second, how crazy that is. It's actually incredible. Then Gamer Legion obviously was a very big surprise. They just kind of, most people probably didn't even have this team making the stage, the champion stage, and they got all the way to second, so that's an incredible result. Heroic get third. They've got a lot of top placements recently, so not too surprising. And I mean, those are pretty much the biggest storylines overall.
I was surprised that everybody was really excited. Again, I don't get to watch.
I guess this
much
was also Zonic's fifth win as a coach, I believe.
People were really excited that they got to play Nuke, and I'm trying to think back. Historically speaking, Nuke has been. I'm not saying it's like this anymore. This shows you how out of touch I am. But the most imbalanced map of all time. But it was an original map. Like back
it was
in,
very CT favored.
Yeah, so I don't know what
it has been balanced a lot more. I don't know. I'm not good enough at the game to tell you that it's completely balanced, but I will say it's not as CT favored as it was in 1.6. So it's definitely a more fair map. I still think in reality, is there any CS map that feels truly 50-50? Maybe.
Season. You know,
even the like true classics, like something like Inferno or... Even those maps don't inherently necessarily feel 50-50. But that's the thing about CS. They don't need to be. So it's fine. Like, if they're... It's boring if a map is, like, egregiously one-sided, right?
I told you the story about Nuke, right?
But if it's, like, 60-40, it honestly doesn't matter. Because both teams play both sides.
I was on LAN playing a Counter-Strike tournament. And we played Nuke. This was in... I think this was Source.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost the first half 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
14-1. Okay. We came back and 15-0. And that's fucking Nuke. That was Nuke.
Yeah. I mean,
absolute
that's,
joke of a map.
That's obviously. I mean, first of all, like that's just anymore. One example, but it's just bad design when games are extremely.
That's the thing that's interesting, though, is that they've kept with Nuke for so long. Like, but why? Like, I played the original when it came back and came out in beta 4 with Dust 1, the first two destruction maps, or whatever DE actually stands for. What does it stand for? Demolish? Destruction?
Diffuse? I don't know.
You know, actually, I think the trivia to this, I think it started originally was destruction, and then later started to stand for diffuse. Anyway, that map has been remade about 12 times, probably. So glad to see that it's actually well-received now. Anyway, the reason we brought this up is because Counter-Strike 2 was not announced in any way, and you might be asking, what do you mean? They've already announced it. So I got into CS2 beta when it first came out. There was a big hoopla about it. They made a blog post, all that jazz. Then they just didn't update it. They never added any maps. And then they deleted everybody from, as far as I know, my key got deleted. I can't even open the game anymore. What the fuck is that about? How is that? You come out with an announcement and you just forget about it? And then you delete everybody. Now, the only thing I can think of is maybe they thought they were closer. And by the way, it wasn't announced. Nothing was announced at this major at all. So maybe the good news is they realized that their netcode thing that they thought was maybe good at the time, but was kind of shit in some regards. They're going to redo. I don't know. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Like, that's... Even for Valve, that's weird.
I haven't played that many betas or alphas for any game, but I would imagine like letting people have temporary access and then revoking it is not unheard of, but
right.
It sounds like based on the wording, the way you're explaining it would sound pretty unusual, I think.
Okay, let me give you two things that make this unusual. Okay. 'Cause you're right, yeah. That's been done many times in alphas and in betas. Number one, they didn't tell anybody about removing them. Number two,
right.
They made a blog post announcement, all this hype to CS2.
Right.
Why do that then? Do either of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well just waited.
And yeah, at the last major of the tournament where there's most eyes, you would probably think it's a good business move to have something to present.
Even right? that 10-second Aegis video that Valve spent 2 minutes making would have been better.
Even if it's just a hype video and there's no actual news, just giving some sort of, again, you have so many viewers on the last major, you want to get them excited for CS2. Them not posting literally anything, I also find pretty surprising. I don't know if I should find it surprising. I find it a missed opportunity, let's call it that, to do something about it. But I mean, as we know, Valve don't really like advertising their games very much. The announcement of CS2 is probably in their minds. So that's the advertisement they're going to do. That's it. The game itself will carry the rest. They don't need to show anything about it at the major or whatnot. It's ready when it's ready. They're going to drop it, and then hopefully people love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. Based on this development, it's not like I'm worried about CS2. I think it's going to go just fine. Like, don't worry about it. The competitive scene in that game, unless Valve royally just completely fuck up the integrity of the game or the way that it runs so people don't want to play it, it will be big. So, and maybe that's also how they're thinking about it. It's like, why should we invest money and time into promoting this game? It's already going to be amazing. But I just think that's the wrong way of looking at it. Like, keep building the hype. Keep getting more and more people excited. And keep getting the same people more excited too, right? Like, remind them that this is coming out. It's going to be cool. Because, funnily enough, if you advertise CS2, there might also be more people playing CSGO. What do you know?
There were. When they announced CS2,
yes.
Tons of people
started playing
CSGO.
Yep.
Including you. All right.
Yep. Well, I had been playing.
Yeah,
a bit,
so you say. Mm. What's that mode that we played? Wingman?
Oh yeah!
You introduced me to Wingman. I never played that mode before. It's actually fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fast. It's fun, and it's easy because you just need to play with one person, and then you don't have any.
So when we're in Sweden, I'll actually bring my good mouse so that we can play for real.
All right.
Because I was on some shit hardware. Not gonna lie.
I can't believe you go to these events without bringing your gear.
Well,
you're
a
gamer.
Don't have a
you're
computer.
Away from home for 2 to 3 weeks covering an event. Why don't you just bring your mouse and keyboard at the very least?
Well, I'm not going to bring my keyboard. Feels like it's not needed. I've never bring my keyboard. That's too heavy.
All right.
It's fucking heavy. It's mechanical.
Yeah, so is mine.
And
what do you bring? Okay. Oh, right. You know what? We were about to end this episode. Now we're going to extend it because.
Okay. I would say
what
this.
What do you bring?
What do you
to
mean?
An event. What do you bring?
Clothes.
Yeah. And
mostly clothes. Then my
how
backpack.
How do you not have space?
My backpack has if it's
200 movies on DVD discs, so if you can watch them, and then you don't have space. Or
if
what?
It's 2 weeks worth, then the luggage is quite packed, and I don't want to bring more than one. Like, I have a backpack carry-on which is already stuffed to the brim, just to make my airplane rides more bearable. Has Steam Deck, my headphones, my neck pillow, my sweater. My laptop, etc. Not gaming laptop, of course, because I don't like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then the luggage, a lot of times, depending on how long my stay is, will be filled to the brim, and then it's going to be too heavy, especially with a mechanical keyboard. If my luggage is close to the point of being too heavy, in which I have to pay more or just take something out, that's where the keyboard comes into play, Syndrome. That's where it goes.
How heavy is a keyboard?
And like, this is what I'm going to tell you that people are going to get really upset with. I think the most overrated part, I'm not saying it's not important. Don't take words out of my mouth, Cinder. Now you're trying to.
Okay.
Most overrated peripheral is the keyboard, by far.
I mean, I would agree with that. I think the mouse is easily number one, not even remotely close. And then the second most important is the headset. I kind of would agree with that. If you told me you have to go to an event and you can bring two peripherals, I would bring the mouse and the headset, and then I would use any mouse pad there plus keyboard.
Yeah, I think I would.
But
most of them, like the keyboards that we get at these events, because I know they're going to give us a keyboard. It's like, fine, it's mm-hmm. whatever. It's not as good as my keyboard at home, but it's good enough. The mouse makes a huge difference, especially in FPS games. Like I cannot play without.
In Dota as well, even.
Dota, not as much. Let's be real.
It's less important, but it's still very important. Okay. Well, okay. I don't get why you don't have space in your backpack. So when I bring my backpack, here's what I can bring to an event. I can bring a laptop, mechanical keyboard, mouse, headset, recording microphone, mouse pad, and I have space for a couple of shirts in there as well if I need. Do I just have a really big backpack?
We can compare once we're in Sweden. I'm telling you, my backpack is like exploding.
I mean, I guess if you're bringing the Steam Deck and the laptop, that's...
Yes.
That is quiet.
And I have a case for my very important headphones, my noise canceling, my neck pillow's in there, my hoodie's in there.
You can still stuff a keyboard in there. I refuse.
All my pills I have to take. I'm a pill popper, you know, on the plane.
I mean, the fact that you have a neck pillow, I think that might actually be the kicker. If you didn't need to bring the neck pillow in your bag, you would have space. But here's the thing about the neck pillow. You are allowed to just bring that tied to your bag on the outside. You can literally just tie it with string and have it hang on the side. Tons of people do that.
Yeah, I know. But then I'm afraid it's going to like rub against something and then get really dirty and then I can't use it anymore.
Okay.
The point is, I don't care about the keyboard. Okay, it's not worth it to me to carry this fucking 5-pound thing, however heavy it is. Let's see, this is pretty heavy. This is like 3 pounds, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Sounds like a really heavy bag. I can understand.
I mean, you can take a look at my bag and see how full it is. All right.
Those 3 pounds are the kicker.
When I get into the hotel room, before I even unpack, before I even take my off the plane dump and shower, I'm gonna invite you into my room. And you can look at my backpack and see the state of it. And
I don't
want to
be
luggage in
your room before you take the shower. Let's do things in the right order.
I just want to get, you know, the authentic look here. All right.
Yes.
That does it for this episode. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Sunset Sinner signing out. Peace.
Bye.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.